Isaiah 45 and verse 21 and 22, mainly 22, but let's look at 21 to start. Tell me, or tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me. Look unto me. That's what we're going to be talking about. Look unto me, says the Lord God, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Now, contrary to what the media, contrary to what people write, there is one God, one Lord, one gospel, one faith, one baptism. To deviate from that is to bring upon yourselves, or bring upon ourselves, sure destruction. It may not be swift, but it's going to be sure destruction. I don't care what intellectual status we think we may have. God is true, and every man a liar. But this phrase, look unto me, look unto me. It's amazing that man is both lost and saved by a look. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Man is both saved and fell by a look. Genesis chapter 3. In this blissful, peaceful garden setting, paradise as it's called, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, for God doth know that in the day, says Satan to the woman, that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In verse 6, and when the woman saw, she looked, when she beheld, when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She saw, she looked, she beheld. So this is our beginning. This is where it all started, as far as we're concerned. It started in debt by one look. Adam and Eve fell in the garden and plummeted our whole existence into sin. Just a look. A complete fall, not a partial fall. Not man's free will was spared the fall. Everything about man, everything about his fortitude, everything about him, mind, soul, body. That's why we get older. That's why the doctors they do so well in this country. That's why the health occupation does so well, is because, like John Newton said, I'm suffering from a disease of which there is no cure. Old age. What's going to happen? Total fall, total separation from God. Therefore, he demanded that they leave paradise. Matter of fact, he shunned them. He sent them out of paradise. They were once created. We were once created in God's image. Followed him. They followed him. Obeyed him. But now, as Ephesians 2 says, we're spiritually dead. Well, I can still have the ability to think. Yes, you do. I still have the ability to reason. Yes, you do. I still have all these abilities. Yes, you do. But in the area of spirituality, and that's what the gospel deals in. That's what the gospel deals with. Because these mortal bodies, they're passing away. But the soul, the soul. That's what God's concerned with. Trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and many other places. Romans 1, 2, 3. We're all dead. Our throat is an open sepulcher. It's not a pretty sight. The scripture says from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. It's open sores. It's putrefying. We're likened to dead, and dead can't move. Dead can't move one smallest increment towards God. And towards God is salvation. To look to Him is to live, as we saw in Isaiah 45. Look unto me. Well, a look we're saved, and a look we fell. And then that order, the look we fell first. So we're all sin. And in that passage in the Old Testament where the prophet says, the Lord takes him and sets him, I think it's the valley of Achor, or sets him in the valley. He says, what do you see? I see a bunch of dead, dry bones. And he says, can these bones live? No. And he says, you know, Lord. He says, preach unto them, prophesy unto them. And he did, and there was a stirring, but there was no life. And then the breath of God came. And they all stood up. But that's what we are by nature. We cannot please God. We cannot come to Him that we may have life. In us is no good. And this is what we tell. We know this from the scriptures. This is what we tell our children. Even though the schools and everybody else is telling them other things. But when we gather together under His name, under His banner, we see our beginning was one of debt. We had no way to pay. We had no way to free ourselves. And so, turn to Numbers chapter 21. So it begins by a look. There's death. She saw that the fruit was good and pleasant, and she took it. But just as with that look, death, so with the look, there's life. There's a new walk. There's new birth. It begins with the look. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. And as they, that is the children of Israel, in Numbers 21, as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and spake against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul hates this light bread. Well, that light bread was manna. Well, that pictured Christ. It came down from heaven, unasked for, unassisted. It freely came. And if you were hungry, you took some. If you weren't hungry, you didn't. But you didn't store it over. It says His grace is sufficient. You didn't store it over. Store any over. That's what they had. And it was like hoarfrost. They said it was like honey. It's light. Refreshing. Well, now they're tired of it. And isn't that us by nature? We hear the message. We're thinking, I'd rather be somewhere else. So, or we're doing something else. That's again, goes back to our beginning. Depravity. That's us. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people died, of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. That's good. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. That's the right order. You may speak against a brother or sister, but you're speaking against God. We've sinned against thee, we've sinned against God, we've sinned against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away these serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks, when he or she looks, shall live. Verse Verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He looked and lived. Look unto me and be ye saved. It's a look. It's a look. Now I know that this look is none other than believing in Christ. And I know that this look is none other than faith in Christ. Turn to John chapter 11. How do you look upon something that's not here? How do you believe upon someone who's not in front of you? Well, you believe from the heart, from a new heart that God's given you. But you look. You look. John chapter 11 and verse 26. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Whosoever liveth and believes in me shall never die. John chapter 7, verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38, Christ says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, he that looks upon me. Salvation is a look. And I've said this before, I think Spurgeon, somebody said, metaphorically, believing is tied to every sense. Look, taste, handle. And I think, well, that's so true. And it's metaphorically, it's spoken so we can understand it. And I know God chooses a people, and I know God's predestinated. All who will come to Him will come to Him. But I ask you, have you been bitten? Have you been bitten by sin? Yes, you're born in sin. We're all born in sin. Are we aware of it? Has the Holy Spirit made you aware of your need to look? If you were not bit, according to Numbers, you didn't need to look. Why go to a physician if you're not sick? But you don't go. You don't go unless you have an issue. Would to God He would bring us, each one of us, our children, ourselves, to realize we've looked at that fruit and we fell in Adam. Would to God He would bring us to the realization that we've been bit spiritually by sin, Satan and self, and we're going to die. Because it's, look at, I've turned away from it, but I believe it's in Numbers, He says, and the Lord sent them fiery serpents, and much people died. So there are people who died. They had no hope. As people die today, with never hearing the gospel, they have no hope. They're following the religion of mama. They're following the religion of daddy. They're following the religion of grandma, grandpa. What does the word say? The word says you can do nothing to please Him. He says, Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. And He says in, I believe, Hosea, and then Christ almost reiterates it, from me is your fruit found. So any fruit that we have, and repentance is a fruit, belief is a fruit, trust is a fruit, a look is a fruit, it's from Him. If He's provided faith and grace and repentance, He's going to supply it. He's going to supply it. Looking unto Jesus, as I said, is none other than faith, none other than believing in Christ. Both believing and faith is a free and sovereign bestowment of grace upon us. And we cannot produce either without divine revelation. But why do I stand up here? Because He's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You would think, just tell one time, just one message, everything would be fine. But the scripture says even believers get dull of hearing. And we do. It sure makes my job easier, I could say it that way. I got one message. I just love that illustration with Spurgeon. He talks about a guy that's playing the guitar and got one string and just sitting there plucking it. Just plucking one string. To the unbeliever, how monotonous, how boring. Are we going there to hear about the same old story? To the believer, he sings, he's got a hymn written for him, tell me the same old story. That's what we want to hear. That's what we desire to hear. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. And if this life, this look, this trust, this faith, this hope, this belief, it's all by and through that glorious object of the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved. But here's the beautiful part. We don't look once and then that's it. We look unto him once for salvation. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. This looking, let me put it this way. If you ever stop looking, you've never looked. That's my point, okay? If you ever stop looking to Christ, you've never looked to him. Let me show you this. Hebrews chapter, what did I say here? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I didn't say if you quit coming to church, though, you know, that we could discuss that. Don't quit coming. If you ever quit looking to Christ, you've never looked. And there are people who, as Scripture talks about in John, 1 John, that they were of us, but they're no longer a part of us. They've walked away. And there is apostasy. But that's not what we're talking. I'm talking about looking. We look to him from first to last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. We look to him, look unto the Lord in Isaiah and be ye saved. And we look unto him. Not only is this important in our beginning of grace, truth, and happiness, but we continue to look all throughout our sojourn here. Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about, he's writing to the believing Hebrews, with great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, unbelief, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now, as you run, this is what you do. Now, if you're running a marathon, you really can't see the finish line. But if you studied the course, you know where it's at. Now, if you're running a 440, I guess they still call it a 440. If you're still running a 440, we used to have a 220 when I was in school. You know where that end is. And I was watching something the other day. I can't remember who it was, but the crowd was laughing at this guy because he was so far behind. Well, nobody, I think it was a mile, and he was running in a track. And the announcer was saying these people are laughing. And you could see it. I can't remember what country he was from, but nobody ever kicks a full last lap. This is 884, whatever it is. Nobody ever kicked. They kick about halfway through. He had one more lap to go, and he just kicked. He started, which means he was running for all he was worth. And he ended up taking over the field and winning. He knew where the finish line was. We never stop looking to Christ. Look at what it says. Let us run with patience. Let us run. That is that word is to run or to walk, to move forward with patience. The race, that literally is our conflict. I thought that was interesting. That word is literally our conflict or our assembly. So when we gather together in the assembly, we look to Christ. In our conflict out in the world, And believe me, if you don't know it's a conflict, you will know it's a conflict by the end of your course. Yet the outcome is sure to all the seed. Victory is certain in Christ. And as we run, walk this earth, sojourn, whatever you want to call it, we are solely, singularly, without hesitation to look upon, and trust our Redeemer. That's what he's saying. Run with patience that race that is set before us. And we all have a race. We all have something set before us. Looking unto Jesus, we don't ever... I remember telling my daughter when she was running track for Jackson for school, and all the kids at that age, it's like fourth or fifth grade, when they run, they get to the stop, to the finish line, and they stop or they slow down. I told her, I said, run 10 feet past, just act like the stop, the finish line is just run through it. Don't stop. That's what we do. We continue to run. Don't stop looking. Don't look back. Don't take time off from beholding the Lamb of God and His grace. This is what believers do. This is whom we adore, we cherish and love. This is our beloved. He is our spouse. He's the one among 10,000s to us. This is how we survive the trial of our faith. This is how we survive the war against the soul, the storm by day and the winds by night, by looking to Christ. I know it sounds simple, and it is, because we're not to detract each other from the simplicity that's in Christ. And I know it sounds basic, but the gospel is basic. And it's singular. And every time I get up here, and every time somebody gets up here, they point us to Christ. Look to Christ. Why? Look unto me, says God, through the person of Christ, by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Be ye saved. He is our everything, and He is everything needful to us. But lastly, okay, so we're looking. We've looked to Him for our son to salvation. We're looking to Him as we're these difficult trials and tribulations and times of distress, persecution, nakedness, peril, sword. We're looking to Him. But we even look to Him at the last or at our end. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20, for our conversation, and that word conversation is everything about us. That's our life. That's our walk. Is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So even at the end, when we're laying in our deathbed, we are to look. Our heaven is our citizenship. This is to be our final living place. And we are to look for Christ and look towards Christ. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our expectation. The word hope is not like, oh, I hope this happens. The word hope in the scriptures, for the most part, is used as, it means confident expectation. He is our expectation. We've looked to Him for life. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, as it's tried and we have go through difficult times. And at the last, we look to Him then. And then we'll be with Him forever. Our first look, our last look, all centers around and all because of our merciful and kind Savior of our sinful souls. May we bless God. He will not abandon us. Those whom He foreknew, which is for love. He will not ever forsake the apple of His eye. He will not desert His lost and now found sheep, but rather with the given ability to look to Him, He will keep us safe and secure under His everlasting arms. Underneath, wasn't in that, and Spurgeon brought this to my attention years ago. I never thought about it, but he said, you know, the everlasting arms. He says, underneath. Underneath, it's like you can't get any lower than underneath, can you? You can't get any lower than underneath, and His arms are there. I just thought that was something that I had missed. I thought that was beautiful. There's no one able to pluck you out of His sovereign, powerful hands. In Job, we are hedged about by omnipotence. And those adversities that do come our way, He allows them to come in. But it's all for our good and our best interest and for His ultimate glory. Let me close and read something that Mr. Pink said about this, looking unto Jesus. Perhaps right here and right now, a troubled and trembling sinner will voice his last difficulty. Sir, I do not know that I am looking in the correct way. The correct way. Dear friend, God does not tell you to look at your look. That's what that is. This that phrase, it may, seems unclear, but it makes perfect sense. Because we look at our look, at how we're looking. And He says, doesn't tell you to look at your look, but look at Christ. In that great crowd back in Numbers that were bitten by the serpents, there were some young eyes and there were some old eyes that looked at the serpent. There were some with clear vision and some with dim vision. There were some who had a full view of the serpent by reason of their nearness to the uplifted type of Christ. And there were most probably others who could scarcely see the image because of their great distance from the pole. But the divine record still says it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten with sin, when he looks, when she looks, upon it shall live. And so it is today. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He does not define the method or manner of coming. This is interesting. And even if the poor sinner comes groping, stumbling, falling, yet if only he will come, there is a warm welcome for him. So it is in our text. It is whosoever believes. Nothing is said about the strength or the intelligence of the belief, for it is not the character or degree of faith that saves, but Christ that saves. Faith is simply the eye of the soul that looks unto the Lord Jesus. Do not rest, then, on your faith, but on the Savior Himself. Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved. Bruce, would you close us?